And now here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez.
Thank you very much, Debbie, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a wonderful weekend and can give us an hour of your time tonight because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are welcoming your participation. That's very, very important to us. So please settle back and give us a little time tonight. We hope you'll enjoy the show. We certainly do our best to bring you an entertaining hour. The number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. We'll be covering current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, classical music, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So again, that's 415-841-4134. And I do want to remind you of our email address, which is mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Again, that's mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. And if you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the world as we know it, just by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And since the dynamic Debbie is here tonight, I know there will be a podcast available of the show right afterwards because she knows exactly how to do it. And so if you want that later on, you can certainly do that by going to kalw.org. So I should say to Jerry that we got a couple of emails last week, people that disagreed with your question about the Republicans and Democrats' favorite cars. Nothing personal in it, I'm sure, but saying that that since only a couple of thousand Leafs had been sold, it's doubtful that that's the favorite car of Democrats because...
Well, it wasn't the favorite car, it was the third favorite car.
Well, even the third favorite, that they figured that since they only sold about 3,000 some odd Leafs and there are many, many millions of Democrats, chances of that happening.
Okay. Is that the correct plural of that car? Leafs?
Well, many Leafs. Some Leafs.
Leaves?
Leaves.
That's
leaves of grass.
Leaves
of...
It was a genuine question.
No, actually, I'm not. I don't know.
One leaf, two leaves.
Yeah.
Okay.
Leaves. That's a good question.
I won't argue. I can't argue.
Somebody can answer that. All right. And, of course, we're happy to have Josh here, and sometimes I forget to give you the plug for the Nation, so maybe you should just say it.
Thanks. I'm the co-constructor of the weekly cryptic crossword in the Nation magazine, along with Henry Picciotto.
All right. Good job. Okay, so we're going to start with a round of introductions, and here's the first. Jerry Nachman lost power for 18 hours, but PG&E was able to restore all but his mental powers. You left the two out, Jerry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, well, Joshua Cosman has now got most of the water out of his ears, but his shoes still say squinch, squinch, squinch when he walks.
That's true, actually.
And my ears go like that.
Yeah. Thanks to Big City Big Brother, our moderator Dana Rodriguez is now proclaiming that our all-nude live broadcasts of Minds Over Matter are hereby canceled.
So there's us.
It's too bad. Some of us have great bodies for radio.
I know. The best bodies for radio.
Mm-hmm.
And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, who was the oldest actress? You only get one guess. Who is the oldest actress ever to play a Bond girl?
Could you just stop at who's the oldest actress?
We know that.
The oldest, you mean at the time they played the Bond girl?
Yeah.
Oh. Hmm. The oldest actress. Would it give it away?
She was 38.
Really?
Eight.
Didn't Diana...
Ancient.
Wasn't Diana Rigg a Bond girl at one point?
She was.
That's my
she
guess.
She was, but I don't
know anything about Bond, but I know this question.
38. 38. In age, you mean?
Right.
Because otherwise that's kind of small. 38. Okay, I'll take a guess that it was Halle Berry.
No.
Okay.
Did you say?
I my guess was Diana Rigg.
No, okay.
But
all right.
Let the audience play.
That's a good one.
Oh, can I take one more guess?
Huh?
Can I take one more guess?
Only if I get another guess.
It's not an overly educated guess. It's just a guess.
Okay.
Honor Blackman.
Yes, I knew you would get it if I gave you Honor Blackman.
Pussy galore. Yes.
All right, now I get another question for that.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, one guess on this as well. Which city in the world has the most 3-star restaurants in the Michelin Guide?
How high can you go? 4 stars, right? Is that
three?
The highest?
Three is the highest.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
And there's not many
of
those.
Four is the Chronicle.
I just eat hamburgers. I don't know.
Harder to get 4 in the Chronicle.
3 is really nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. What city?
Would it give it away if you told us how many?
How many what?
How many of those, how many three-star restaurants
oh,
are
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
It's just the city with the most?
Just the most, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's reason together, Dana. It's not New York. It's not Paris. It's too obvious.
It's not per capita.
You always ask that. You ask that all the time. I don't know. What per capita.
Well, for instance, you know, you could say that one of those towns up in the wine country that do have.
I don't think that.
The French Laundry or something.
Forget per capita.
All right. Okay. Well, of course, you want to say Paris, but that's too. New York is
not New York.
New York.
It's
San Francisco.
I doubt it's anywhere in the United States.
Come on, guys.
I'm gonna guess London.
No.
Okay.
Not known as the capital.
No, I know that. No, it's true. It's true, but we're only just kind of skimming off the cream.
Right. We haven't thought about Italy.
Yeah, but remember, these are French guides.
Well, if they give it to three stars to an American restaurant. They might give one to an Italian restaurant.
Yeah. Take it.
Oh, all right. I'm going to put my guess in reserve.
What's that?
Because I have to think about it.
Okay.
Till some callers call in and get some wrong guesses.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They get all the wrong answers first.
That's a coward's way out.
Only a few thousand cities to go through. Okay, why don't you repeat the question?
What city in the world has the most three-star restaurants listed in the Michelin Guide?
That's not the coward's way out. That's a smart person's way out.
That's gaming the system.
Yeah. And London is not it.
All right. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Garrett from Union City.
Oh, Union City, okay.
Garrett, you moved?
You're talking about James Bond. I have a question for you. Who were the only two actors who played James Bond who were interviewed in Playboy?
The only two actors who played James Bond that were interviewed in Playboy?
Yeah.
Well, Sean Connery, obviously.
Yeah, that's an obvious one. Who's the other one?
See, I wouldn't know. I don't ever read the articles.
At least you're man enough to admit it.
Well, there have only been about four Bonds.
Roger Moore?
No, much later.
How about Daniel Craig?
Yes, give yourself a bell.
Dana gives me a bell.
Yeah, I gave you the bell.
Here's another question for Josh.
Go ahead.
Sir William Walton scored four films with that feature Laurence Olivier. He scored a fifth film with him, but his score was rejected, and Sir Laurence Olivier wanted his name removed from the credits. The last part of Walton's score was retained in the film. You know what it was?
I didn't hear the composer.
Sir William Walton. He scored...
Walton.
He scored four films. Hamlet, Henry the Fourth, Richard the Third, Three Sisters. He was about to score a fifth film with... Walton, but his score was rejected. It's this inferior Olivier. He wanted his name removed from the credits. The last part of Walton's score was retained.
Huh.
Who wanted his name removed from the credits?
Olivier wanted Walton's name removed from the credits Olivier wanted his name removed from the credits unless Walton's score was retained.
And was it in fact retained?
What?
And was it in fact retained? Did he win?
Yeah, part of it was retained for one scene. It's a war movie.
Yeah, is it?
Is it a movie that Olivier only has a little tiny part in?
Yes, yes.
All right. I can make a guess. But is it The Battle of Britain?
Yes, get yourself a bell.
Yeah, it's one of those spot the star things, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Yeah.
And Josh, it's your turn.
So this Sunday, today in the Chronicle Pink section, I had my annual board game review roundup, the new board games for the year. So on that theme, I thought I would ask you about games in the Games Magazine Hall of Fame. Games Magazine has a list of 25 sort of all-time classic games. Can you guess what are the oldest and newest board games that are included on that list? Board games, loosely, actually, one of them is not really a board game.
Oldest would have to be Monopoly.
That's what I would have thought, too, because that came out in 35, but it's actually the second oldest.
Oh.
There's one from 34 that's on the list.
Parcheesi.
You're close. If you package Parcheesi... commercially, what do you get?
Yahtzee.
Talking about board
Yahtzee
games.
Yahtzee is not...
Talking about board games.
Yeah.
The oldest and what's
snakes
the other
and ladders.
Part?
No, that's the oldest and the youngest, the newest.
Parcheesi goes back to ancient.
Parcheesi does. This is a game that's basically a commercial packaging of Parcheesi.
And Monopoly is
is the second oldest because that's from 35.
Okay,
this was 34.
Board games.
Okay, sorry.
Good job.
That's exactly right.
That goes back to 34.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, you know, essentially it's Parcheesi, so it goes back even further.
I played it. I can't even remember what it was about, but
it's Parcheesi.
Yeah.
It's Parcheesi.
Okay.
And what about the most recent? It's not actually a board game per se.
Is it popular enough to most people would know it?
I don't know whether most people know it. It's one
Hall of Fame.
Games Magazine Hall of Fame. Man.
Yeah, that has to be pretty big.
It may not be your kind of thing.
Well, no. And you say it has some relationship
99.
To Parcheesi?
Oh, no. Sorry has.
Oh, Sorry did. Okay.
Yeah.
99.
I don't know.
Ooh.
Boggle.
It's not Boggle.
Mm-hmm.
Dana? No, all right. Well, let's leave that out there. What is the game in the Games Magazine Hall of Fame of most recent vintage? Let's put it that way. All right.
And is it an American?
Yeah.
Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds of Matter.
Hi, this is Claire from the Valley of Portola.
Hi, Claire.
I have a response to the city with the most 3-star Michelin restaurants.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing it's Tokyo.
You're guessing correct.
Tokyo. Wow.
Very good.
Wow. How'd you know that?
Do you go to Tokyo and eat very well?
I have been to Tokyo, yeah. My favorite restaurant. I've been to Tokyo a few times, and I got to even eat at Beige on top of the Chanel building. So that was my finest dining experience by far.
Well, good guess. Very good.
Hi. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Right. Tokyo it is, yeah.
And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. If you'd like to join us with a question or answer, the number is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Okay. What is the butt brush effect?
Spell it.
All right.
If you dare.
This is very. It comes into play here at Christmas time, at holiday time.
How do you spell that?
Okay. What is the butt brush effect? Butt is spelled B-U-T-T, your butt.
It has to do with Christmas.
Nothing dirty.
Hmm?
It has to do with holidays. Yeah. It has to largely, not completely, but largely. What is the butt brush effect?
It refers to the fact that if you walk past a Christmas tree, you're likely to pick up some static electricity that then gets discharged the next time you touch a doorknob or anything metal.
Number 9.
It was a good guess, though.
It was.
Yeah.
It was.
Butt brush. I have no idea.
Right. It has to do with holiday shopping. What is the butt brush effect? All right. Think it over. And second question, I'm going to give you 5 fictional countries. I want you to tell me what movie or book they are from.
Okay.
5 fictional countries. Number 1, Bacteria. Number 2, Grand Fenwick. Number 3, Lichtenberg. Number 4, Bulgaria. And number 5, Pottsylvania. Again, these are 5 fictional countries. Tell me what, where they come from. Let me go through the list once more.
Oh.
Number 1, Bacteria. Number 2, Grand Fenwick. Number 3, Lichtenberg. Number 4, Bulgaria. Number 5, Pottsylvania. I'll give you each one guess.
Grand Fenwick is the mouse that roared.
Correct. Duchy of Grand Fenwick.
Oh, thank you for guessing that. I was going to go somewhere else with that. Pottsylvania is Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Correct. Very good. All right.
You got Bacteria and Bulgaria, right?
So, yes. So, Pottsylvania is Rocky and Bullwinkle. The Duchy of Grand Fenwick is The Mouse That Roared. So we still have Bacteria, Lichtenberg, and Vulgaria.
Lichtenberg.
And again, what is the butt brush effect? It's well-known situation that kind of has to do with holiday shopping, and it's good at shopping different times of the year, but that's probably most prevalent at the holiday time. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller? Hello? No? Sorry. Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is this me?
It is you.
This is Bart in San Francisco.
Hi, Bart.
I know that you probably have the answers already, but my guess for one of the oldest board games would be Chutes and Ladders.
Chutes and Ladders is very old, but it's not all that good, and it's not actually, I think, in the Games Magazine Hall of Fame.
Okay, well, thanks for hearing me.
You remember playing it and how you kind of go up and down and up and down until your eyeballs fall out with boredom?
Actually, I've never played it, but
there you go.
I've only heard of it.
Well, you're better off.
Well, thank you.
Listen, about, I don't know, 20, 25 games. Have you been playing these all year?
No, just the fall. Fall. I've been sort of devoting big
chunks
of my weekend.
Where do you find people to play with?
I have friends. You might not think it to know me, but to see me, but I have friends.
He has a game night do you do that every week or something?
No, I don't have, you know.
Do they still have the Game of Life? Do they still do that?
Yeah, it's still around. I mean, basically all the games that you played as a kid are still there, but...
Is the most recent game on this list within the last 10 years?
It came out in 99.
That's the most recent one?
Yeah.
Risk?
Risk is much older.
Much older.
I used to play that all the time.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. I wasn't sure how old that was.
Okay. Yeah. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Ed. How are you?
Ed.
Very good. So, tomorrow, December 3rd, this heavenly event is going to happen. It only happened once every 2,737 years. But it's going to happen tomorrow, so we're lucky to be able to be part of it. Do you know what it is?
Wow.
So, it is a heavenly event, something in the sky, at night sky.
2,737 years.
Yeah. Last time it happened was... so long ago. Could you take a guess?
I have no idea.
It's going to happen. It's an astronomical event.
Yeah, well, appearance.
It's the confluence of Halley's Comet and a lunar eclipse.
Kahutek.
At the same time.
If you go to Facebook, a lot of people posted, including myself. All right, I'm going to give you the answer, but then I will leave one part of the answer left for audience.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Three planets are going to be exactly aligned with the top of the pyramids, the three pyramids. Ooh. They're going to be exactly right in the top one, second, and third. Beautiful. There's, in fact, Astronomical Magazine and Facebook have a lot of very beautiful posting of it, where you can see the three planets. So I will leave it to the audience to
which ones?
What are the planets? But also, do it yourself. Go to Facebook, my page, M-Ed, and you'll see. It's really beautiful. Really, really beautiful. Because they show the pyramid lit, as well as the planets on the top of them. So really beautiful picture. The second question is, one of the most fascinating creatures to me, and I really think the far smarter than people, are viruses. So I want to ask you, one of the deadliest viruses, of course, AIDS is one, but AIDS is a very smart virus because it can keep the host alive forever, pretty much. And... dumb viruses are like Ebola and the rest of that they kill the host within a few days. They're dumb because if the host dies, then they die too. But I'm looking at one of the deadliest in human history, which is the flu virus. Okay, so every 50 years or so, we get a deadly one. In 1968, we had that Hong Kong flu, which actually almost killed me. I was in Berkeley at the time. Does anybody remember that, 1968?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, okay. Then 1918... we had that...
Spanish influenza.
Yeah, that killed about 50 million people, killed 18 million Americans, and killed a lot of World War I American soldiers. They died from it. It mostly attacked younger people. So I have two viruses, and I want you to tell me, I'll give you the scientific name and you tell me what it's called. Okay, the first one is H1N1.
Oh, H1N1. That's the bird.
That's the Asian bird flu.
Asian bird flu.
No.
H1N1.
Swine flu?
Well, let me give you the second one. Maybe you can talk. The second one is H5N1.
Catchy names.
How about swine flu? Whatever happened to that?
Okay, which one is swine flu? Well, there's only two. Bird flu and swine flu.
Must be the first one, then.
The first one is swine flu.
First one.
What about the second one?
Okay.
H5N1.
Maybe that's the bird flu. That's the Asian bird flu.
Yeah, the swine flu is extremely contagious. You can have a whole country sick within a few days, but it's not as deadly. People cough and eventually recover. H5N1 is so deadly, but not as contagious. So what is happening right now, there may be a crossover between the two, where you have a combination between the H5N1 and H1N1, and they will have a virus that's deadly and also extremely contagious. Mm. And that's what the scientists are working on right now. And actually, it is happening. The virus right now is mutating. Have a good night. You know,
all right, thanks so much. Well, I will try. You really put a downer on this. All right.
And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, one guess again. What state just became the first to have an all-female delegation in Congress?
I asked this.
That would be New Hampshire.
I did, yeah.
Oh, all right. So much for
you
that.
You asked it, but I knew it.
I was gone that week. Okay. What is the largest edible fruit native to North America?
The largest?
Now, I have never heard of it, but...
Oh.
But that doesn't mean anything necessarily.
Native to North America.
Sounds like a mushmelon or a muskmelon.
It's a blend of fruits.
It's good. It's good. A blend of fruits. So it's a hybrid?
If it's native.
How could it be native? Yeah. How could it be a hybrid?
It didn't say how large it is, so, you know.
Be a blend of fruits. Hmm.
I don't know.
Okay. Make sure you read the question once more.
What is the largest edible fruit native to North America? It's a blend of other fruits.
All right. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. Hope you're enjoying the show. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman, classical music columnist for the San Francisco Chronicle, Joshua Cosman. And I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, it's Carl.
Hi, Carl.
Hi, Carl from Oakland. Anyway, the butt brush, as I recall from all my years on my feet doing retail, is when it's too crowded, particularly shopping for clothes, and two customers accidentally brush against each other, and it tends to be very disconcerting and usually causes at least one of them to abandon what they're doing and maybe even walk out the store.
Exactly right. Exactly correct. Yes, very good.
I thought that was the point of
It is called the butt brush effect, and it's more often than not, I've read, according to a survey I looked at today, it will cause, as you say, one of the customers, or it doesn't necessarily have to be two people brushing against each other, but one of the customers to forget whatever item they were interested in and just walk out of the store.
Wow.
Yeah.
Because
their butts touched?
Just because their personal space was invaded, essentially.
Wow.
So, yes.
Well, that's, yeah.
Are you still there?
Yeah, that's it. Ramon got a couple of your fictitious city names.
Okay.
What did they? I just out of curiosity, before you get to that, what did they? Did they sort of give you a heads up about that when you were working retail?
No, Maestro. I've worked in books, and also I'm a wine merchant, so we really don't have that much. But I could see it in, particularly in malls, where they put the clothing racks too close to each other, and someone's kind of spinning through one and brushes against the other one. It's when they pretty much overcrowd. And it's very counterproductive, obviously.
Interesting. Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
All right. No, that's it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye.
And Josh, it's your turn.
Okay. Let's see what we got here. Who's the only American mentioned by name in Mein Kampf?
Carmen Miranda.
That's an interesting question.
Good guess, but wrong.
Somebody like that? A pop figure?
No.
Was written.
It's good because it's funny.
Between like 23 and 25. And let me think. Was this somebody?
I'm just going to brag and say when I got asked this question, I guessed it right.
Did you?
Did you say the only American?
I was very proud of that.
The
only American mentioned by name.
Lincoln.
Not Lincoln.
Was this person alive at the time of the writing?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it somebody that a political theorist of some kind?
I'm just going to stop right there because I got it with no yeah, clues, yeah. No hints at all.
Yeah.
So you don't want to be one down
he
relative
nibbled
to me.
Around,
well, you know, Hitler was big on crackpot political
Trotsky.
Theories.
Not
Trotsky. He wasn't American.
That's right.
Interesting. And the person was alive at the time. Okay. Okay, okay, okay. I was thinking in terms of Theodore Roosevelt, but he wasn't alive.
Is that your guess?
No, he wasn't alive at the time.
Okay.
Lindbergh.
Not Lindbergh.
Yeah, he hadn't flown the Atlantic
yet. Oh, he hadn't. Okay.
All right. Let's leave
when
it
is, when
all
did
right.
Comp come
let
out?
Me just clarify one thing. Was
sure.
it was this person mentioned in an admiring way?
I don't know.
Right.
I've given you the whole question as I heard
when
it.
When was it published? Early 30s?
No, it came out in 26, I think.
Oh, earlier than I thought.
27, maybe.
Oh.
Yeah. So.
Well, Lindbergh's flight was 27.
Yeah, no, but it was written uh-huh. before that.
Okay.
So, okay. All right. Would you repeat the question?
Simple one. Who is the only American mentioned by name in Mein Kampf by Adolf Hitler?
All right.
Sorry.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening, it's Marky Matty. How are you all doing?
Good.
The largest fruit, Jerry, how about fruit salad that was made in an abandoned swimming pool somewhere in...
No, this is a real fruit that grows.
Well, I'm sure they're all grow and you just chop them up. And all right. Joshua, Games Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
How about Magic?
Magic is a good guess. Magic the Gathering is in the list, but it comes out in about, I think, 93.
Okay. And so, there are a few others, but I'm not going to... I've got the list in front of me.
Mm.
I don't have dates on there. Josh, that was a good appreciation you wrote about Elliot Carter.
Oh, thank you.
And now that he's passed on, who is the oldest living composer right now, as far as we know?
That's well known.
Yeah.
Right.
Or at least in Joshua's.
Yeah, well, I think I
take a survey.
You gave me a question similar to this a few months ago, so I'm going to, I think it's going to be Henri Dutilleux.
Oui, monsieur.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's an old guy, too.
And occasionally active, I think.
Yeah, as active as he ever was. I mean, he only ever wrote one piece every 5 years as it was.
Yeah, that's my estimation, too.
Yeah.
All right, we're done.
Good.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye.
Okay, I have a list of the top 10 business destinations for on car GPS devices, okay? I don't have a GPS. Jared, do you have a GPS?
Yeah, but I don't use it.
Okay, Josh, you have a GPS?
It's in my glove compartment. I pull it out when I'm going someplace I don't know where it is.
All right. So these are all, these are not generic businesses. They are specific businesses. Okay. So these are the top 10, this is national, the top 10 business destinations on car GPS devices. I'll give you each two guesses.
You mean that people get in the car and they say, point me to.
Yeah. Me to the nearest
take
Howard
me to
Johnson's.
The nearest McDonald's.
Yeah.
So
right.
McDonald's would have to be on the
no,
list.
No, McDonald's. Yes. McDonald's is number six. There.
Okay.
There, that's good.
Costco.
No.
Starbucks.
Yes. Starbucks is number three.
Walmart.
Walmart is number one.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. And these are the top 10 business destinations on car GPS devices nationally. So far we have Walmart, Starbucks, and McDonald's. What are the others?
How about, I think one might be gas
station. You had your two guesses.
Oh, I had my
guess.
Okay.
All right. And the number to join us is area code 415. That's my phone number. 415-841-4134. I was about to get my phone number. 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi, this is Big Radul from the Carneros.
Hi.
I'd like to give you the names of five blues singers, and you give me their given names.
Mm. Well, we can try.
Muddy Waters.
I knew that was going to be first, and I just read that. And
wait, let's get the list first.
Yeah.
Okay, Muddy Waters, Sun Ra, Professor Longhair.
Uh-huh.
Dr. John, the Night Tripper, and Howlin' Wolf.
All right.
I should know all of these.
I got a couple of them. You guys want to?
No, no, please go ahead.
So Dr. John is Mac Rebinac.
Correct.
And Muddy Waters is McKinley Morganfield.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
And I once knew Professor Longhair's name, but I've forgotten it. So that's all I got. Those are good questions.
I thought Howlin' Wolf was his given name.
I wish we were doing better with this. Jerry, do you have anything?
No, I don't have
any. Okay. No, we don't have any of those.
Okay, well, Sun Ra was Herman Blount.
Huh.
And Professor Longhair was Henry Roland Byrd. And Howlin' Wolf was Chester Arthur Burnett.
Ah.
Very good. Thank you very
Thanks.
Much.
That's a great question.
Good question. And we're a little past halfway through the show, so let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Jerry, what do you have?
What is the largest edible fruit native to North America? And it's a combination of other fruits. That's it.
All right. I'm looking for the games in the Games Magazine Hall of Fame. What is the youngest game or the most recently released game? It came out in 1999. And who is the only American mentioned by name in the text of Adolf Hitler's Mein Kampf?
It irritates me that I'm not coming up with that.
I thought it does.
Yeah.
Especially because I got it. And
yeah. That happens so seldom.
I know.
And so I give you a list of fictional countries. There could be from a movie or a book or a play. And I'd like you to tell me where they come from. So number one, bacteria. Number two, Liechtenberg. Number three, Bulgaria. Bacteria, Liechtenberg, and Bulgaria. What are the sources for those fictional countries? And I have a list of the top 10 business destinations on car GPS devices nationwide. So far we have Walmart, Starbucks, and McDonald's. What are the others? Okay.
Are any of those fictional countries from Marx Brothers or W.C. Fields movies?
I had a Marx Brothers one, but I left it out because it's too easy.
Yeah. Well, if we're going to just do scattershot, I mean, my guess on Grand Fenwick, which was wrong, but isn't one of these from The Princess Bride?
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Never Matter.
Good evening. This is David Price Weldy in San Francisco.
Hi, David.
Joshua, those were great answers for the musicians, first of all.
Oh, thanks.
Secondly, GPS. Would one of them be Best Buy, Dana?
Let me just check that. Yes, one of them would be Best Buy.
Okay. And then I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
In San Francisco in the Bay Area is running out in the 415 area code of new numbers. What is the proposed new area code for the 415 area? And as a bonus answer, when, if we don't change, would all the numbers be released?
Well, I don't live in San Francisco. Maybe Jimmy, Josh, or Jerry will know.
This is the first I'm hearing of it.
Really? Me too.
Yeah, they've done a pretty poor job of publicizing this. I had no idea. Wow. Huh.
Actually, their first, if you're interested, January 16th at the PUC, they're holding a meeting with reference.
And what is the number?
Now, they're no longer restricting the area codes to ones with one or zero in the second position like they used to for so many years, because they've run out of those, I take it.
I believe that's the way it works.
So, I don't know what's...
The 415, they have a new proposed number, and the 415 will be running out when?
Well, let's see. Since they haven't even publicized it, they must be doing it in a very leisurely way. I'll say 2 years.
Pretty close. March 2015.
Hmm.
And would you like the new proposed area?
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
That would be 628.
628.
Okay. Got to start memorizing.
Your cell phone.
Yeah, exactly.
Quickly.
Good.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, David.
I just thought of maybe a follow-up to that, just to throw one bonus in here. What is the area, and it's not an area code, but what is the first three figures used in movie and TV phone numbers?
555. 1212.
Oh, I knew 555. 1212? Is that?
No, 1212.
No, they always start with the play numbers.
There is
five,
no 555,
right,
I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
or sometimes it's
but they
KL5.
Use that number. They use that number many, many times. 555-1212.
Okay, we'll forget about it. Thought it was a good idea, but.
too well known.
And let's see. It's Josh. I think it's your turn.
Okay. What do these four people have in common?
Four people.
All right. Tennessee WPA Administrator Harold S. Berry, U.S. Navy pilot Charles McGee Tyson, U.S. Army aviator Harold Geiger, and Hawaiian aviator Bertram J. Hoag. I don't claim that these are necessarily people you would have heard of.
They're all unknown to anybody.
All right.
They're not people you've heard of, but they have something in common.
The names, I don't know if I should write down the names because they don't mean anything
right,
to me.
Right, exactly.
But just give me the whole question once.
What do these people have in common? Harold S. Berry was a WPA administrator in Tennessee in the 30s. U.S. Navy pilot Charles McGee Tyson, U.S. Army aviator Harold Geiger, and Hawaiian aviator Bertram J. Hoag, whose name is spelled H-O-double-G.
So you got three aviators and a WPA administrator.
So is this something to do with Pearl Harbor?
It has nothing at all to do with Pearl Harbor.
All right, because one of them was Hawaiian.
One of them is Hawaiian.
Which one is Hawaiian?
Bertram J. Hoag.
Hoag is
whose name is spelled H-O-double-G.
Now, what they have in common, was it all an experience they shared together?
No. There's something interesting about each of them individually that is...
But it's a common experience amongst the four of them.
Their paths never crossed. These are four people of whom a particular thing is true.
What was the first man's name?
True.
Mm-hmm.
What was the
His
first...
name was Harold S. Berry.
B-E-R-I?
B-E-R-R-Y.
Well, all of the names have five letters.
That's very true, except for Bertram Hoag, who only has four, and Harold Geiger, who has six. But
oh, I thought H-O-G-U-E. Okay.
No, H-O-G-G.
All right.
No.
It's not something weird like they all saw an unidentified flying object.
No. The fact that they're aviators is relevant.
Three of them are aviators.
Yeah.
Three. So they're all aviators.
Yeah, Barry wasn't an aviator, but he might as well. I mean, aviation is the key.
It's not war-related at all.
It's not war-related.
Okay.
Let's see if somebody knows it. I'll leave it out there and see if somebody picks it up.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. It's Bubba Frisco, Dave.
Good evening.
And I'd like to take a shot at the GPS destination.
Yes.
How about Target?
Target's number two.
Great. And largest fruit. Mm-hmm. I've got a candidate answer. The fruit grows up to at least 350 pounds, maybe quite a bit larger. But it varies a lot in size. Typically, it's more like 10 or 20 pounds. But it's a fruit that's grown in contests to grow the largest one, and that is the pumpkin.
No. Good guess, but no.
This grows larger than 350 pounds?
Well, I don't know how large it grows, but it's. I said it was a blend of three other fruits, and the pumpkin would not qualify.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
All right.
We'll see.
Night.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay, so I have a question for you. Maybe you'll enjoy it, maybe you won't, Jerry. maybe Josh will get this too. Who was the only actress, an Academy Award winner for Best Supporting Actress? This is, I'm looking for a woman's name, obviously. The only woman, an Academy Award winner for Best Supporting Actress, who 20 years later was a Tony Award winner for the musical version of the same role.
Oh, I love it. She won both times.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So she was an Academy Award winner for Best Supporting Actress, and then 20 years later, she won the Tony Award for playing the same role in a Broadway musical.
A musical of the original?
Exactly. The original was not a musical.
The original was not a musical.
Right.
Is it Cloris Leachman?
For...
Young Frankenstein?
Oh, it's an interesting guess. But no, she didn't win the Academy
she
Award.
She probably
for that.
Didn't.
No.
Yeah, all
right. Oh, well, gee. That's a good question, but too difficult.
So the let's get it. The movie...
Both the movie and the play were hits, by the way. I mean, they were both well known.
So the movie was not a musical. They turned it into a Broadway musical.
Exactly.
Okay, so it's not like Hairspray or
did
something.
Did it have the same title both times?
Yes, it did. Yes.
Oh, wait a minute.
And is the musical within the last 20 years?
No. Not within the last 20 years.
Okay. What's the one?
Not quite. Well, yeah, no. But it wasn't, I mean, it wasn't as long ago as you would think. So I'll just give the question once more.
Yeah.
Who is the only woman and Academy Award winner for Best Supporting Actress who 20 years later won a Tony Award for playing the same role in a musical version of her movie.
Okay. Mm. Gotta think it out.
All right. Yeah. I think that's the only time that's ever happened, by the way. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, this is Minds Over Matter. We're here every Sunday at 7. And it's an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we welcome your participation at 415-841-4134. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there?
Hi, this is Mark in Walton, Oregon.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, I have an answer for the person mentioned in the Bible, or in the Mein Kampf.
I get those confused a lot
myself.
Yeah,
the Bible, yeah. I don't careful about that.
Would that be Henry Ford?
Yes, it would.
Oh,
well done.
I get
very
that.
Good,
that makes
good.
All makes all the
all
sense in the world.
Sense, doesn't
yes,
it?
Of course.
Well done.
Very
and
good.
I have
yes.
two guesses for the GPS destination.
Yes.
Would they be Home Depot?
Not Home Depot.
Or Trader Joe's?
Not Trader Joe's.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks a lot.
All right,
thanks.
Good job.
Okay.
Yes, okay. I congratulate you. That makes all kinds of sense.
Yeah.
Yes, he promoted the protocols of the elders of Zion and
exactly.
all that ridiculous
well-known
stuff.
Well-known anti-Semite.
Yes, well-known anti-Semite.
Yeah.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Oh, yeah. This is Eric from San Francisco. The guy just beat me to the Mein Kampf question, although I had it wrong. I thought it was going to be Woodrow Wilson because he was a... He was a one of the leaders in the Zionist movement, believe it or not.
Mm.
Yeah, during World War One. So I thought he was bad rapping Woodrow Wilson. And the what's the name of that? These two countries, bacteria, and what was the other one?
Oh, let's see. What do we have left here? Bacteria, Lichtenberg, and Bulgaria.
Lichtenberg, could that be like imitation to be beheading by Nabokov?
Oh, that's an interesting guess, but no.
Oh, okay. Oh, and the. Thinking of the Republican versus Democratic choice in cars.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I should share this with people, but I was having this nightmare before the election that if Romney won, he was going to like replicate like a 1949 Nash Ambassador and have it plated in platinum.
I'd like to have a 1949 Nash Ambassador. That'd be a nice car.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah,
because that was his dad's company, right?
Oh, right. You're right.
Yeah.
My first car was a Nash Rambler. I'd like to see.
Oh,
that.
Yeah. Yeah, that
there
cool.
you go.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Peter in San Francisco.
Hi, Peter.
The Kingdom of Bulgaria is in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
You're right. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Very good.
And I have a trivia question for you.
Mm-hmm.
What James Bond villain played the king of Bulgaria in the movie?
And now I'm probably going to mispronounce his name, but was it Gert Frobe? Or is it Froby or Frobar? Or...
Yes, that's it.
Frobe, I think.
Froba? Okay.
You are correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay, within 10%, how much does the average American man weigh and the average American woman? They're both, well, I won't say.
I would say the average American man is probably up near 200 pounds at this point.
Yes, 196.
Really?
Sad but true.
Mm. Up 16 pounds from 1990, yeah.
Interesting.
All right,
And now the woman.
Well, I know the average dress size is up. It's considerably more than it was 20 years ago. So, a little tougher. I'll say 150.
156. Very okay. Good, gentlemen. Very right. Good. Wow.
We know our fatties.
Yeah. Why do you think Why do you think McDonald's is one of the top destinations on the GPS? So, and let's see. You have another question, Jerry?
Yeah. What are you suffering from if you have diplopia or diplopia? D-I-P-L-O-P-I-A.
Sounds like double vision.
It is.
Yeah.
Good job.
Very good. Boy.
All right. Okay. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Dana. It's Janusz.
Hi, Janusz. Thanks for the DVD.
Anytime. Yeah. I would like to have a posthumous ring for Henry Ford or ipso facto, whatever. Thank you. And I will earn it by saying that Hitler not only mentioned Ford, but also gave him the Grand Cross of the Order of the German Eagle, which was the highest honor could be given to a foreigner.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And Ford accepted it, was proud of it, and never relinquished it, regardless of events.
Uh-huh.
So, a quick, easy question. Next year, which is upon us, will be a double bicentennial of two very important composers. And the question is, which of the two composers is older?
Mm. A double bicentennial.
Yeah.
Do you know who they are?
I do know who they are, but I don't know who. Do you want to take a stab at it, Dana?
So
1813.
1813, excuse me. Let me think. No.
You know who they are.
I know who they are. I'm waiting.
I know you do. But
yeah, Dana
was. Can you give me some?
They're both opera composers.
Oh, all right. I'm much weaker on opera composers, I'm afraid. How about Bellini?
No.
The two are Verdi and Wagner.
Oh.
That's not the question.
Well, it was the question. It was a good question. It was a good question.
Oh, all right.
Not for Joshua.
No, but right. For Dana. So, yeah, it's Wagner and Verdi, and then the question is, who's got
between
the older birthday?
Papa Verdi and Richard Wagner. Who's the older?
Yeah, I don't know.
You got a 50-50 shot at it, Josh.
Yeah, I have... Something tells me that
I bet it's Wagner.
I'm saying Verdi.
That Verdi was born in January, but I think I'm wrong on that.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, I mentioned Papa Verdi.
Yes.
He's the younger.
Ah.
Wagner was born in May and Verdi in October.
Oh. Right. Had I known that, I would have...
Had I bought... You could get a posthumous ring, too.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you. And there's your posthumous ring. And Josh, it's your turn.
Oh, let's see. Let's see. What do we got? A quick one. The planet Uranus has 27 moons. They're all named after characters from works by two authors. Which are they?
H.G. Wells?
No.
Jules Verne?
No.
I don't think it's Shakespeare. Is it Shakespeare?
Shakespeare is one.
Oh.
If you're going to name moons after...
True. Yeah, that's Ariel.
Shakespeare is the easy one.
Yeah, right.
Who's the other one?
Is the other a contemporary of Shakespeare?
No.
Okay.
Nor of ours.
Okay. Shakespeare.
It's not George R.R. Martin.
No. All right, I'll let it go.
All right. So the question is, Uranus has 27 moons, all of them named after characters from the works of which two writers? Shakespeare is one. Who's the other?
I love the movie musical question. I've been dithering about that. Can you give us a little clue on that? Because it's such a delicious question. I hate to...
Well, what kind of clue can I give you?
I'd like to make one stab at it.
I can't tell you
without
the,
giving it, I know.
Yeah, I can't even hint about the name of the show and
can
the
you
movie
give us a
because
decade
I would give
of
it
each
away.
One?
Yeah, I think I can do that. The 60s and the 80s.
Okay.
So a 60s movie becomes an 80s musical.
Right.
With the same title.
The
and
same.
She won both
right,
times.
Right. Yes.
Gosh.
Oh, and then let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Jenny in Berkeley.
Hi, Jenny.
So, I have a guess about the largest fruit.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say pomelo.
What is it?
A pomelo.
No, it is not that.
Okay.
What is a pomelo?
A pomelo is a, like a grapefruit.
Oh, okay.
Larger.
No, it is not that.
Okay. So is then the newest game to be on the big list, I'd say apples to apples.
That is correct. Well done.
Oh,
apples to
good.
Apples is it.
Okay. So then the other, the fellas, those aviators,
mm-hmm.
did they all break the sound barrier?
No, they didn't. Okay. That's not it. Correct.
Okay. And then my very last thing, TPS.
Yes.
Could it be Holiday Inn?
Holiday Inn. No, not Holiday Inn.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I'll give a slight clue on this fruit. It's a blend of the banana, the mango, and the pineapple.
Banana, mango. Is mango? I didn't think mango is native to...
Yeah.
Is it?
Well, maybe that
sure
isn't,
this is
but
a
the fruit
and,
itself...
And not a, maybe an is, ice cream flavor?
What?
I said, are you sure this is a fruit and not an ice cream flavor?
Well, I've never heard of it. No, it is a fruit, but I've never heard of it.
I have
but
no
that
idea.
That doesn't mean
a breadfruit.
No.
All right. What is the only industrialized country in the world where a book is still the number one Christmas gift?
Huh.
What is the only industrialized country in the world, and it's a major country, where a book is still the number one Christmas gift?
Sweden.
No. I'll give you each a couple guesses since we have a couple minutes left.
I want to say London, but that much sense.
No, it's not England or the UK. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Hi. I didn't hear it click. Well, I'm going to guess on the GPS locations, and I missed a few minutes of the show, so I hope it wasn't guessed already. And I wish it were opera houses and art museums, but I know it's not.
No.
So I'm guessing maybe Target?
Target was number two, but somebody got that, but you still get
okay.
a credit.
Oh, thanks. The other one I'm guessing is Office Depot?
No, not Office Depot.
Okay, and I have one more guess. Lichtenberg, was that by chance in The Mouse That Roared?
No, we actually did have that. Or that was I asked that as part of the when I first said the question, I gave you the Duchy of Grand Fenwick, and that's The Mouse That Roared.
Oh, right. Okay, well, struck out, but thank you.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
So, in France, is a book a great gift?
Yes, it is. A book is the number one, still the number one Christmas gift in France.
And what about for Uranus? Is Chaucer maybe the guy?
Not Chaucer. Right nationality, but the wrong century.
Okay, and then Lichtenberg, is that Candide?
It is not Candide.
Okay. And then I'm hoping I'm right on this. Lila Kadrova?
You're right. It was Lila Kadrova from
Zorba
the Greek.
Yes.
And Zorba.
Wow.
I think you asked that, or I...
No, I've never asked
years
that.
Ago,
no, I don't think so.
Very
well,
good.
It was new to me.
Who was the only actress, Academy Award winner for Best Supporting Actress, who 20 years later won a Tony Award for playing the same version in a musical. And that is Lila Kadrova for Zorba the Greek and Zorba. Yes.
Very good.
Great
very good,
question.
Thomas.
Good job.
Well done.
Bye.
Zorba with an exclamation point.
Yeah, right.
All right, yeah, very good. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ede. Since nobody got the answer for the pyramids and the three planets, I'd like to tell you what the answer is.
All right.
Okay, it is Mercury, which is in the news lately for having ice,
mm-hmm.
Venus, and Saturn. And this event happened every 2,737 years. So tomorrow night, look at these three planets and remember a few hours before, they were right above the pyramids. So
I'll do that, and I'll think of you, Ed.
All right.
Okay.
Great. Thanks, Ed.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Ted in Mira Loma.
Hi, Ted.
You answered a question about that place where Kurt Frobisch was the king?
Yes.
There's another character famous for his roles in Bond movies who was in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Can you name him?
Hmm. You mean an actor? You're looking for a name for an actor?
Yep. There was a connection to the Broccoli Enterprise of the Bond series to Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Right, yeah, well, absolutely. Yeah, right. Same yeah. producer. Who's the actor who's in both those? No, that's not Dick Van Dyke, obviously. It's not Robert Heltman. I can't, and it's not Lionel Jeffries. I can't think of any other.
Lionel Stander.
No, we don't know.
It was the guy who played Q, Desmond Llewellyn.
Oh, he was in that too. Oh, yeah. Okay.
He was Mr. Coggins.
All right.
I have one more, just a question. What was the first horror film ever nominated for Best Picture?
Well, I think this might have come up once before. Didn't it go all the way up to The Exorcist?
That's the one.
You're right.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Love the show.
All right. Thank you very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, this is Tom from San Francisco.
Hi, Tom.
And I was under the impression that it was possibly Rita Moreno for West Side Story for the actress, but the answer just came about.
Mm-mm.
So I was wrong on that one. But I have a trivia one for you guys. What is the first song that was ever remixed?
Remixed?
Yes. Remixed. Ooh. First song that was ever remixed. Was it a standard song?
Yes. What's a standard?
Well, a standard in terms of like a classical American song that was maybe redone. Oh, or
it's a classic, but it disco.
Oh, a disco. Oh.
Well, from a disco performer.
Yeah. How about like something like "I Will Survive"?
Very close. Right artist, wrong song.
So it's "I Will Survive." That's Gloria Gaynor. So, or are you thinking of Donna Summer?
Oh, yeah, you're right. It's Donna Summer for Last Dance.
Okay. Oh.
That's my trivia.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Dana, I didn't know you were so hip on disco.
I lived through the disco
shocking.
Era.
Ah, shocking.
Oh, yeah, that was me. All right, we better clean up here. We're almost out of time.
Okay, the largest edible fruit native to North America is the pawpaw. It sounds Hawaiian, but have you ever heard of it?
No.
P-A-W?
Sure. Down in the pawpaw patch.
Oh, okay. I never heard of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
And
got a little hillbilly blood in you.
Yeah, that's me, all right. So Uranus's moons are named after characters from Shakespeare and Pope, Alexander Pope, of all things. The four aviators, or three aviators, the WPA administrator I mentioned, are all people who have airports named after them that have... You know, every airport has a three-letter code, like SFO for San Francisco.
Oh.
And most of them track pretty clearly to the name of the airport or the name of the city, but not those.
Oh.
Okay. Now, Debbie's signaling me to
All
stop.
Right.
Go ahead.
The fictional countries, Bacteria, that's from The Great Dictator, the chap on film.
I was going to guess that.
Lichtenberg, and you should have gotten this, Jerry, that's from Call Me Madam.
Call Me Madam,
that's the country.
Yeah.
Bulgaria, somebody got Bulgaria, so Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, sorry. And we got the Lila Kudrova, and what was the other question I had? Wait a minute, was there anything else? That was it.
You had more GPS locations.
Oh, yeah, GPS, but... I'm sorry. Yeah, so the top 10 GPS business locate destinations. Walmart, Target, Starbucks, Best Buy, Chase, that bank, McDonald's, B of A, Pizza Hut, Walgreens, and Toys R Us. So if we did not get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Our panel tonight was Jerry Nachman, well-known Bay Area author, Joshua Cosman from the San Francisco Chronicle. Thank you very much, Josh.
Thank you for having me.
I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, and, of course, our thanks to Debbie Kennedy for lending us her wonderful support. And Sarah Cahill has a lot of guests tonight, so stay tuned for that. And take care, everybody, and bye-bye.
You might. It's got to be this or that. If it ain't dry.